Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to Kim Arellano, and this is Walk the Talk with Kim, where we talk with community-based organizations and nonprofit and people wanting to do some good in our communities. Our focus with the show today, we're going to be talking with a wonderful woman, Chris Fagan, and she's with a company called Think Shop. And Think Shop is an organization. I'm going to have her tell you more about it. But what we're going to be talking about specifically today are innovation in nonprofit organizations, and very specifically about getting that volunteer base up and going. And going into the holidays, thinking creatively, a lot of competition for a lot of volunteers out there. And so I'm sure we're going to have some really great information from Chris. We'll bring her on here real shortly. But before we get there, I want to say hello to Eric. Eric, hello.
Good afternoon, Kim. Great to see you today.
Good to see you, too. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Are you excited? Are you all wound up and ready to go for Halloween?
I am very wound up. I am completely unprepared, but I'm very wound up for Halloween, yes. So. No, nobody's gotten any costumes yet. Although my daughter said that she wants to be a mummy, and so all she wants me to do is wrap her up in toilet paper.
You know, I actually did that costume when I was a kid.
How did it go?
And I got to say, I accidentally TP'd the whole neighborhood. And so that was in keeping with the trick rather than the treat aspect of Halloween. And I didn't purposely mean to TP anybody, but I certainly did. So by the time, if she's trick-or-treating in that costume, it's definitely going to fall apart. So
Well,
you might try some tape
know.
Or something, or bandages.
Yeah, that's good to know. Maybe a little duct tape here or there might kind of work out for her. Yeah. But my husband said that he had read that using toilet paper as a costume is not advised. So I don't know what we're going to do.
I can agree with that.
Okay. You know, yeah. All right. Well, we might have to come up with something different because I'm not prepared.
You could tear an old sheet into strips. You could get some of the bandage gauze that they sell. That's not too expensive to get. That would probably stick together a little better.
But I kind of like the idea of wrapping her up in toilet paper, though. I mean, what mother gets an opportunity to,
My mom was thinking,
around.
Too. You know, now I can finally squeeze the Charmin.
So as long as we're talking about this, I have to tell you the one I wanted to go as a robot one year. I must have been about 10 or 11 years old. Uh-huh. And so my dad, who over-engineers everything, built me a robot costume that went from my neck all the way down past my knees. It was a box. He put it in an aluminum foil, and then he got some of that conduit piping, and he made arms and legs with that.
That sounds really cool.
It was highly unable to move in this costume, and so I had gone to an event, and we did a whole capture the flag, you know, go out into the woods and stuff like that. My team finally just propped me up against the fence post and told me they'll come back and get me because I had fallen in the mud so many times and couldn't get up. I was just slowing everybody down. So that was one of those years. The costume was great, but highly unfunctional.
Your operating system crashed.
Yeah, it was not going to work for us. So are you doing anything special?
I am definitely going to go out and see what fun I can find.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm sure our friends at Night on a Dark Trail, that's happening on the 28th, which is Friday from 7 to 9 p.m., that'll be something really fun to do. So if you're looking for some fun things, go out to the Snoqualmie Valley, and all of the proceeds go to the Mount Si Helping Hands Food Bank. And again, that's Night on a Dark Trail, and all that information is on Walk the Talk with Kim website and Facebook page at Walk the Talk with Kim. Also want to remind folks that on November 5th, we've got our job fair and entrepreneur event coming at Chief Canem Middle School in Falls City. We're going to have booths. There are going to be organizations there that are hiring. There's also going to be a whole host of topics that are focused around helping those folks that are unemployed get their stuff together, hopefully some wise advice. I'm going to be doing some presentations on finding your best you, getting emotionally prepared for that job interview. So that should be a lot of fun. And again, that's November 5th, the Job Fair and Entrepreneur sponsored by the Snoqualmie Valley Community Network. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is we've got something kind of exciting on the Facebook page. If you haven't liked Walk the Talk with Kim, now's a chance to not only like my page, but you do some real good just by clicking a button. We have it set up with Fingerprint Marketing. Pia Larson, who's a great friend of Walk the Talk with Kim, has designed a page. So if you go to Walk the Talk with Kim and you like our page, $1 will be donated to Love Uganda. And of course, we've had our friend Kelly with and Kristen with Love Uganda on the air. Mm-hmm. And the money goes towards buying bedding and all kinds of fun things that will go with Kristen and Kelly when they fly back to Africa next year.
All right, I'm going to see if I can re-like it. If that,
you get to unlike me and then
I'm
going
to have to unlike you and
me.
Then like you again.
That's not the point. But you could tell all of your friends to go like walk the talk with Kim.
Good point. I guess I'll do that. Yeah,
I would prefer you do that.
It's easy to share the link on Facebook as well. So you might as well tell your friends. Spread the word.
Spread the word. It's a great cause and a great work, and it's kind of a social experiment we're doing to see if just by liking a page out of organizations that are doing some good, if you could do even more good. So it should be a lot of fun. And also, just to let you know, if you do like Walk the Talk with Kim and you want to go ahead and like our sponsor, Walk the Talk for Success, they too will match that dollar. So you can like two pages and get $2 donated to Love Uganda. It's kind of interesting thing that we're doing, and I'd love to get some feedback on how that's working.
November is the time for giving, so why not?
Absolutely. Well, without any further ado, we want to welcome our guest to the show today. Her name is Chris Fagan. I am very privileged and honored to have known Chris for a few years now. She has incredible energy. So Eric's going to have to keep us honest about talking slow because I'm a fast talker as it is. And Chris and I, when we get going, it might be insane. So you'll have to come in with the slow it down, ladies. Can you do that for us?
Slow it down,
there,
ladies.
Just like, exactly.
Right.
Got it. You're good. Perfect.
It's nice to see you're drinking chamomile tea as well to soothe and relax you. So,
and I've been in traffic for the last hour and a half, so
right,
I'm really keyed up now.
You're very relaxed.
I'm very relaxed, soothing. Let's dim the lights, get some tinka 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 music going, and yeah.
I don't know what that means, but
spa.
Okay, all right.
Spa feel.
Tinka tinka tinka.
Tinka tinka tinka. And so Chris is going to be talking with us today, and Chris is a fascinating human being. Not only is she this incredible energy who has this heart filled with purpose, she loves helping people, but she's also an ultra runner. And we're going to talk about ultra running because I thought that people died if they ran as much as Chris runs, but evidently they don't. And she's going to talk about that as well as some really great things that she's doing with her ultra running to help give back in the world. So, Chris, welcome.
Welcome, Kim. Thanks for having me today.
Great. So now I can stop talking for a little bit. So it's your turn. Tell us a little bit about you and your organization, Think Shop.
Right. So Think Shop is an innovation consultancy. What is that? Innovation is what we do is we help companies and organizations, nonprofits, so that they can innovate and really think differently. Our whole charge is to help people to access their creativity and apply it to different business situations, different needs. So the types of things that we're hired to do, we help companies to create new products, new services, overcome big business challenges. We help them create new vision or strategies. So we're really trying to use creative thinking and all that energy to help move businesses forward.
And so you have all the skills and talents when you get people in a room to get them thinking innovatively and creatively. What kinds of things do you do?
Oh, that's exactly what we do. So we're one of those consultancies that's not hired and we go away and come back with answers. We bring everybody together in a really creative process environment. And so the kinds of things that we do, really a lot of interesting creative exercises to get you thinking beyond your current way of thinking. So a lot of things that we do are marrying things that seem somewhat unrelated to your problem and bring them in. So for example, we might say, you know, if you have a problem, we were talking about you want to create some new ideas for volunteers. And how can we have more volunteers in our organization? I might bring in an exercise that says, well, what are some of the current assumptions that you have about your problem, which is we need more volunteers? Mm-hmm. And what we do then is we say, well, let's turn that upside down. Let's challenge some of those assumptions. So I might say, well, typically we think we need to bring in volunteers and we're hoarding our volunteers because we don't want others to have them. It's competitive out there. Mm-hmm. We all need our volunteers. And what we might say is, well, let's say the opposite of that. What if we all needed to collaboratively recruit volunteers? Meaning we have to collaborate instead of compete. What would that look like? And so then that's where we would start brainstorming from there.
So what usually gets an organization to the point of where they say we need help? I mean, because I'm assuming in a lot of cases that these organizations would like to think that they think innovatively and creatively, and then all of a sudden they go, we're stuck.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happens. Typically what they say is they have already tried it a number of times and they're addressing a challenge that they just can't seem to address on their own. And that's usually when we come in. And oftentimes it's highly charged and highly time sensitive because they've been trying it and trying it. They're coming up against some kind of deadline where they really need some new ideas and new energy and they're just beating their head against the wall,
yeah,
getting the same old ideas.
And so do you go in with pom-poms and cheerlead them, or do you have specific tools and things that you've learned that work well?
Right.
Or both?
I was going to say, we are a bit of a cheerleader. Yes, we have to bring a lot of
energy. You could do it, T-H-I-N-K, go!
Let's go! And yeah, we're a bit of a cheerleader. We try to bring positive energy to the room, but we also bring in a lot of exercises. We bring in outside thinkers that we have a whole expert database of folks that we bring in to help complement.
Professional thinkers?
I
want that job.
I know, it's so awesome.
How do you get a job as a professional thinker?
Well, these folks typically have really different, diverse, creative jobs, and they do this on the side for us, and they come on in and lend their thinking for the day, and they get to as much creative energy from giving ideas as getting
them. I want one of those jobs. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about this idea about thinking differently about volunteers and nonprofit organizations, because I think it's a really great exercise. So Chris has offered to run through that with us very quickly. And so we're going to go do a little bit of that. It should be fun. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about Adventures for Good, Kilimanjaro for Kids. And you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim with Chris Fagan and Think Shop. You can get all of this information on Walk the Talk with Kim, or you can go to Chris's site directly at thinkshop.com. Come on back and we'll be talking more with Chris Fagan.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. That number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and that's why Alternative Talk 1150 is teaming up with the Puget Sound affiliate of Susan G. Komen. We are encouraging you to take action and get your annual mammogram. Be an advocate for women's health. Donate your time and contribute to Susan G. Komen. Less talk and more action can save lives. Detected early, the survival rate is 98%. Let's win this fight. Learn more about how you can take action to end breast cancer at KomenPugetSound.org.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Ariano. We're talking with Chris Fagan of Think Shop. It's an organization that consults with Fortune 500 companies, small business, and nonprofits. Ways to create new processes, services, offerings, really kind of fun stuff. We were just talking a little bit about professional thinkers and how great of a job that is. Although thinking is hard work, I'm sure it's not easy.
It's not easy. But we make it look easy.
You make it look easy. Make it look like a lot of fun. So you work with a lot of different organizations, small businesses. You have workshops and things that are going on all the time that people can subscribe to or give you a call or hire your organization to, you know, help me think differently about what I need to do within my organization. But specific to nonprofits, so I'll just throw something out there, and this might help some of our clients that are out there, some of the nonprofits that are out there. Volunteerism. So what we find typically in nonprofit organizations and even in board development is you have the same group of people that are volunteering for all these different things because that's what they do, and then they burn out and then they leave. So the question that I have, I know in some organizations I'm involved with, is how do you find and think differently about recruiting new volunteers and to keep that volunteer pool going and going out there, you know, beyond the traditional method of just begging and pleading people to join your board or to volunteer? What would be some of the things that you would suggest, or some of the exercises that executive directors or people that are responsible for volunteering pools, some of the exercises they should do to be thinking differently about volunteers? Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, before you dive into to getting those ideas, a couple of just quick tips to think about as you start that process. You know, a lot of times what we do is what you said, we kind of bang our heads against the wall with the same ideas over and over again. And we really encourage folks to let the ideas flow without evaluating the ideas. So once you, I'm going to give you a couple exercises, but when you dive into them, you really need to just let the page fill before you start evaluating them. And one of the things that we do really well as business folks is get an idea, evaluate it, and kill it. And so, you're like, well, we didn't get any new ideas. Let's go back and have lunch, right? And so with our brainstorming sessions, we really make sure that you suspend judgment is basically one of the tips that we tell folks. And quantity of ideas is super important. So you might think, we've got five ideas. There's got to be one here. You've just hit the tip of the iceberg. So when you do these exercises, you really have to let go of judgment and really fill the page.
That's hard to do because you're right. The first thing that you want to do is when you think of something, try and figure out why it won't work.
That's exactly what happens. And so we spend a lot of time with our clients encouraging them and actually policing in fun ways in our meetings. Hey, you know, we're not going to judge. And if we do, we're going to throw Nerf balls at each other and make sure that we're, you're evaluating too soon. Yeah, because what happens is our right side of the brain is wanting to go off and explore, and the left side wants to evaluate, and the two need to be separated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are really good at idea generation, and some of us are really good at evaluating. We need them both. And you need to have both those kinds of folks in your room if you're going to do this as a team as well.
Mm-hmm.
So one exercise that you might try, when I was talking earlier about this, you know, turn it upside down. You would turn it upside down and then you start encouraging everybody in the room based on turning it upside down. So with your example, volunteers have to be found collaboratively, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you imagined that that's true, and what you'd say is, everybody in the room, what are some ideas? And we try to use this language, how to or I wish, to invite possibilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So example would be, well, how to use complementary nonprofits in my community to work together, right, to come up with some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a hospital and I'm a school system,
mm-hmm.
you need volunteers as much as I do,
mm-hmm.
because none of us have budgets, right?
Right.
Right. So if you have a need, we get together and we together collaborate and say, well, you vet out some folks and you can only use some of them because they don't have certain qualifications, and put the rest in my bucket and I can do the same for you.
Mm-hmm.
And another idea around that is, if you were to think again collaboratively, just even about what can we do together to increase the pool for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
So not even just a complimentary, right? So what can we do to just want more people to volunteer and not thinking about specifically for my hospital,
mm-hmm.
right? So then there's probably some collaborative effort that we could get out there together and pool our limited resources.
I like the idea of actually, before you sit down and figure out what I'm going to do for my organization, figure out what the general community at large needs.
Exactly.
And what we have.
Exactly. Thinking about the targets of populations out there, right? In our community in Snoqualmie Valley, there might be certain elderly populations that could really help that we're not tapping for our school systems or mm-hmm. Or our hospitals, right? Mm-hmm. And so looking at these populations in a different way. Another idea when I turned this upside down when I was thinking about this is thinking about targets in a new way and saying, instead of saying, hey, we need volunteers to do this job within the hospital, how about we say we need volunteers and they get to write their job description?
Hmm.
What do they want to mm-hmm. do? Mm-hmm. Right? So that could be a barrier to getting these volunteers into our organizations because they don't want to do this boring task.
Right.
Right? Because that would be my preconceived notion, right?
Right.
But if
I
give them something exciting that really taps into their skill set, why not? Why can't they tell us what they can do and we create a job around that?
How much of this do you think has to do with the way that the organization's putting themselves out there? So, you know, I look at some organizations, it's like, we desperately need more members, or we desperately need people, and we desperately need to fill this kind of rigid job description like you're talking about. How much, when you go into organizations, do you find that the organizations themselves are really what are standing in the way?
Hmm. Well, that's an interesting question because I think it always comes down to your focus of what you're doing and does that tie back to a real need or purpose within your organization, right? So if it's not sort of, if it's not grounded in a higher level vision or mission or goal, but it's just, oh, we need volunteers,
mm-hmm.
but it's not tied back and we don't communicate it back to those populations, then I'm not feeling a need to work for you.
Right.
Right? If you tap my passion and my energy, I want to work for you. I want to come and do something for you because it makes me feel good that you're connecting to my need. But if I don't know what your need is.
Right. I like the idea of looking at it emotionally as opposed to tactically, too.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
think that that's a really great kind, because that's why people volunteer.
That's why they volunteer. It's not for the money, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So if you had an organization that, for example, needs board members, so that's the other thing that I hear a lot is I need to recruit board members. And of course, you know, any seasons executive director is going to tell you we need to recruit board members that are fundraisers, or we need to recruit members that are going to contribute financially. And we need board members that have a network of people that can donate into the organization. And that always seemed kind of, yeah, but not necessarily,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, everybody wants to find, you know, money mm-hmm. bags, but that's not fair. Really, mm-hmm. to ask of somebody to say, hey, we only want you because of your money.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same point, it's a very real need. There is a need out there for organizations, especially on boards and fundraisings, that people that are connected and people that are networked. How would you suggest might be a different way of thinking about recruiting board membership so that you have people that are actively engaged in the board and not just there to vote yay or nay?
Mm-hmm. You know, immediately I went back to just thinking about them almost as a constituent or a consumer or a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of what can they do for me? Because all of those examples, those traditional examples are,
yeah.
what can they do for me?
Right.
Do they have deep pockets? What can we as an organization do for them? And almost recasting it as a job that's not even, it's not even called a board member, right? It's a advocate. It's a cheerleader. So when I want to open my own personal pocketbook for somebody is when I, again, feel completely connected to what they're doing and also to a person. So instead of sometimes we get so caught up in it's an organization and you should like this organization. We do good. That's true. But if I connect to you, Kim, I want to do something for you.
Right.
Because I know you're good and what you're connected with is good. And so you appeal to people on that personal level instead of this sort of disconnected level. I think you're going to get more people that with those extra benefits that you want coming to you, you know, you're going to attract them to yourself.
So if I hear what you're saying, it's more thinking in terms from an executive director of recruitment perspective or a volunteer recruiter, it's more how are we putting ourselves out there as an organization that's going to attract volunteers,
exactly.
or how are we putting ourselves out there as an organization that's going to give to people to want to give back?
That's the way I think about it. And as a marketer myself, it is marketing, but it's marketing not your product, but sort of that after, it's what that feeling I'm going to leave you with. And and still it is your marketing. So if your marketing isn't up to snuff, I might not really know what you stand for or what you're all about, because that might be the only thing I'm exposed to about your nonprofit.
So an organization has an event coming up in 3 weeks, and they're at their wits' end, and they need volunteer support. And they're sitting down with their other board members and going, we've got to recruit volunteers. What would you suggest they do? What's step one?
Step one, what are these volunteers going to be doing for your organization, and what can you do for them? So I would sit down, I would brainstorm all the reasons I need these guys, right? And think beyond, well, they need to stuff these sacks and they have to, do these envelopes. I mean, think beyond. Yeah. Think of new jobs they could do, right? Uh-huh. And maybe some hours that people are employed there can do some of those jobs and trade off some things. But then I would also brainstorm on what are all the things we can give them? What do we have to offer? And your list would probably become much larger than you're talking about.
You know, I like to look at people that have big mouths like me. Because maybe they're not able to do much, but they sure talk a lot. And so sometimes, talking a lot is huge. I mean, what great word of mouth marketing for somebody to say, you know what, I don't have a lot of time to volunteer, but I'd love to put you on my Facebook. Or I don't have a lot of time to volunteer, but I've got a couple of people you should talk to. Or I don't know what to volunteer, but, I'll write you a letter of recommendation. Those things are
exactly
your
connector,
money.
Right?
Yeah.
So how to leverage people that don't have time. That would be on my list. And then I'd brainstorm around that, right? Because that's a perfect example of, hey, a lot of this person has 1,000 friends on Facebook, but they probably have no time, just like you said.
Right.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So do you have on your website some of these tips and techniques that people can go download if they haven't written this down or if they want to read more?
I do. There is a spot on my thinkshop.com website that is called ThinkPack. If you click on that, there is, I believe, 6 or 7 different exercises you can try. But what I'll do also is go ahead and post a blog and mention some of these in case you folks didn't have a chance to write them down, and then you can find it there.
Perfect. And we'll post that blog post on the Facebook page and promote so that people know your Facebook page and they can get linked in so that they can get all the updates when you got real cool stuff coming out.
That's awesome.
Excellent. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about free-flowing ideas, and that we're going to lead that right into free-flowing something, ultra-running, free-flowing Freddie over here. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We're very glad that you can join us. Welcome back.
Oh, don't you think it's time?
Does your organization crave new ideas? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has inspired creative thinking at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. We help you imagine new offerings, strategies, or ways of doing business. Our proven processes and engaging workshops deliver powerful results. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
But oh, today is time. Uh-huh. Today is time.
Excellent. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim and Elvis, leading us into the next segment that we got going on here. We're talking with Chris Fagan of ThinkShop.com. And so, Chris, what would be kind of a benefit, I think, for executive directors or other nonprofit organizations or even community organizations or entrepreneurs? I mean, there's a lot of different people that can use your service and tie it into your community. How would one do that and what would they expect?
What benefits do they get from ThinkShop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, if you have an issue that you want new ideas for, if you're hitting your head against the wall, if you come to us, we will help you look at your issue or your challenge or your opportunity in a fresh way, and you're going to get a bunch of great new ideas that you can try to execute.
I would even say that even if you're not banging your head against the wall, I think a new perspective on anything
absolutely.
Is a good thing. I mean, they tell you you should refresh your logo every 18 months, I think is what they say. I think that it really would behoove people, especially in this day and age, with how competitive it mm-hmm. is out there. If you're satisfied with the status quo of your business, peachy, but I think a lot of people would like to think differently. We have to. Everything's
for sure.
changed.
Yeah. And really the engine that's driving our economy and getting us out of this bad economy that's been in is innovation. And so mm-hmm. really just building off what you said, we really need to not be complacent and really continue to see where we can invigorate and innovate. Mm-hmm. Even if we feel like we're doing fine.
So what are the things that you offer? I mean, obviously the in-person meeting and things, but you have newsletters,
sure.
online workshops, any of that kind of stuff?
We do. So we have two arms of our business. One is consulting, where we do customized projects. You tell us your problem and we'll create a workshop or an event to get around that. We also have trainings. So if you just want to, train your brain to be more creative and use that all the time, we have in-person one-day, two-day trainings, as well as online trainings that you can sign up for. You can learn more about that on our website. And then if you just want some tools and techniques and tips, we have a blog that has, if you just look back in that on our website, there's some really good information there, as well as you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and get a little bit of ThinkShop every month.
And you even have a Facebook page, too. So if you want your daily or weekly ThinkShop, you can get your little snippets of thought.
We do, and we try to connect you with some of the interesting articles coming out about creativity, as well as our own thoughts as well.
Yeah, great. Well, we love working with Chris. We work with Chris through some informal channels, and our volunteers, our paths cross
exactly.
a couple of different ways. And you are just an absolute joy and asset to any organization. So I personally would highly recommend you.
Thank you, Kim.
For their organization. But also getting those little tidbits are always good. I love positive messages out there. And mm-hmm. so much you're hearing about all the beware of, and you're kind of like, beware, but beware, have fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, have
beware of
it.
The big ideas coming down, right?
The big ideas are mm-hmm. coming. So you do this other thing. In your spare time, you run. And so I'm talking with Chris. I'm like, I just started running. This must have been about a year and a half. I just started running. I'm doing the couch to 5K, and I did my first 5K, and I was
Yay.
Really excited about 5K. And you run and run and run. You're an ultra runner.
I am.
What
I am an ultra runner.
Running?
Okay, well, the definition of ultra running is any distance that's beyond the marathon. So the marathon is 26.2 miles. There are events out there that are a 50K, which is 31 miles, and then a 50 mile, and then a 100K, that's 61 miles, and then 100 mile. There are ones that go beyond that, but that's as far as I've gone. So I do trail running, so mostly on trails in the mountains is my love, and just completed a 100 mile trail run in the end of August.
So I'm thinking you get on a flat road and you run, But no, you don't get on a flat road. You're running up mountains.
Yes. Well, the last one I did is called the Cascade Crest 100. It's right here in the Northwest. Starts in Easton, does a big loop through the Cascade Mountains, ends up back in Easton. And that one had 22,000 feet of gain and loss.
What does that mean?
It means you go up 22,000 and you come down 22,000 throughout the whole race.
Feet?
Feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
How many people race like that?
Well, there is definitely a subculture of folks doing this. And in any given race, there's only about 100 to 200 folks. You can't have that many thousands of people on the mountain trails for permitting issues.
Right.
But, yeah, it's kind of becoming the next trend in running. But I've been doing it for over 10, 12 years.
How did you get involved in this?
Well, prior to getting involved in ultra running, I was really into mountaineering. Mm-hmm. And found out that that wasn't really a practical thing to do when you're married with a young child. So I decided, you know, I can still be in the mountains if I can get there fast, come back fast, right? So you do these mountain runs, right? And that's really how it started. My husband and I do it together.
So this is kind of Think Shop Tenet. So just so you kind of get the idea into the mind of Chris, which I never would have thought of. So I have a small child and I don't have a lot of time to do what I want to do. But if I do what I want to do faster.
There you go. Squeeze it in.
Then I can do what I want to do. Okay, so you started running.
I did. My husband and I started running together. Well, I was running a little bit to train for mountaineering. Yeah. And then, you know, that sort of morphed into the longer and longer things. And it is a great, it's a great thing to do with your husband because you spend hours and hours and hours on the trail. And we've gotten our son involved as well. He's 10, so he's only gone 5 miles on the trail. But that's pretty good for a 10-year-old.
That is pretty darn good for a 10-year-old. And so how you get involved in this ultra running, I every time I talk with you, I just try to imagine what it must be like to run that much. I mean, the first guy that ran the marathon, didn't he drop dead after 26 miles? What is it physiologically? I mean, people are designed to run.
People are designed to run. You must have heard of this national bestseller, Born to Run, this book, Born to Run. Anyway, if you haven't, it's a national bestseller, and it's all about how we are created to run. But yes, we are created to run, and your question was about physiologically,
yeah.
How do you do it?
How do you do it?
Yeah. Well, you know, you
and not die.
Well, you just keep going a little further, and you train yourself to do this, and you have to eat while you're running because you're burning so much calories and you have to drink while you run. So there's a whole...
I don't think I'd have a problem with eating while I'm doing
anything.
The eating
part is great because when you're done, you can eat anything you want for days and days. But it's basically, it's a long endurance process of getting yourself to be able to get there. And it really starts, you don't start, I'm going to run a 100-mile race. No, you start at the 5K, like you. You too could be a 100-mile runner.
And then about 20 years, well, you know, my knees don't give out first.
Well, it's funny. People, you keep reaching this barrier and you think you can't go further. And it's, for me, it's always, where is that next limit? And you can't get there till you've been to the one before.
Right. Well, that's a good way to, good analogy on life, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And for running in life for me, it's as if life is on the edge of your comfort zone. To me, that is where life is.
Oh, fascinating.
And so every time I get to that point of where I've reached, you know, oh, now this is in my comfort zone. 50 miles is in my comfort zone. So I better go for 100 because that's kind of pushing. Everything becomes a little bit more amplified and it's amazing.
So what's pushing the edge of your comfort zone now?
Oh, my goodness. Well, coming up this December, my family and I are going to be going to Africa. My family includes my husband and my son, 10-year-old son. And we're going to bike from the base of Kilimanjaro to the coast, which is about, I think, 200 to 250 miles.
You're going to get a 10-year-old to bike for 200 to 250 miles?
Yeah, we just actually today shipped the tandem bike to Africa.
Oh, okay, because he's attached to you. I was thinking, I don't know what kind of Nintendo, Super Nintendo system you'd have on the end of a stick to get my kid to go 250 miles.
It's going
to
be awesome. And then when we're done with that, we get a little break at the ocean, and then we'll go over to Kilimanjaro and climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which is the highest mountain in Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. So,
and why are you doing this, just for fun, or do you have something that you're going for?
Well, interestingly, what we've created is we were going for fun, and my son, we sponsor a child in Africa through an organization called Friends of Africa Education. And we've sponsored this boy for 4 years. Well, we were fortunate to be in Africa 3 years ago and meet Calvin live in person. It was such an amazing experience.
What country?
Tanzania.
Tanzania, okay.
And
I don't know my African geography, so I don't even know where Kilimanjaro is. So
it's in Tanzania. Gotcha. And Tanzania is right on the coast, on the east coast. And so my son had such an amazing, as a seven-year-old, such an amazing experience and just could put his whole life in perspective and say, oh my gosh, Calvin doesn't know when he's getting his next meal.
Yeah.
And us sponsoring him ensures he gets a meal, right? And we got to take him on safari for a day and get to know him and his sister. And, you know, his parents have AIDS and they can't take care of him anymore. So our sponsorships helps him. So we're going there and we're going to raise money to build two additional classrooms to the school where he goes. And the school's called St. Margaret's Academy. And they have done tremendous work. I can't even believe over the 10 years they've been there. They keep adding on to the school. It keeps filling. And now the school is ranked fourth in the nation in Africa.
Nice.
And they teach all the kids in English. These kids are going to be raising Africa up to become more than it is today. Yeah. So
are you biking and hiking with a group of people or just the three of you are going and to raise awareness? Or
we made this up as our own event, but as it turns out, to climb Kilimanjaro, you have to hire a guide. And
that's good for the local economy.
It is. That's why they do it. And so there are some folks that are going to be joining our group, and we're really excited about that. And we're hoping that they will join in on the fun of trying to raise money for the St. Margaret's Academy with us.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about this, and because I want to hear more and I want to learn more about what people are doing in different countries. This is so exciting. You can find out more information about
Kilimanjaro for Kids.
Thank you very much. Kilimanjaro for Kids at thinkshop.com. Also at kilimanjaroforkids.org.
.com
as well. And we'll post that information on the Walk the Talk with Kim website. Come on back. We're going to be talking more with Chris Fagan of thinkshop.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Pearson, and along with my wife, Michelle Pearson, we're at the Pearson Law Firm, where we're called lawyers. But the truth is, we're really fathers and mothers and a family of people who are members of a community where we are committed to preventing harm and protecting others, to enforcing rules that enhance our lives and take care of our families. That's what we do. That's who we are. At the Pearson Law Firm, you can call for a free case evaluation by calling 1-800-423-8473. We work with colleagues. We collaborate. We're committed to expertise and resources and making them available to members of our community. Call us at 1-800-423-8473 or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Do you wish you could train your brain to be more creative? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has trained individuals at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. Learn our proven process to think creatively and make great ideas happen. Our trainings are offered in person and online. Learn more at ThinkShop.com.
Get your smile on with Alternative Talk 1150.
listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we're here with Chris Fagan. That was They Might Be Giants, right?
Correct.
Yay!
The unmistakable John and John vocals.
Yes, he does have a very unmistakable kind of voice. I love it. I love playing this game with you, Eric, because you pick the best stuff, and then I have to dig back into my youth to remember who we're listening to. It's awesome.
Excellent.
Thank you. Well, we're talking with Chris Fagan in our final segment here of ThinkShop.com. And we had a really great conversation today talking about thinking differently, thinking innovatively, thinking creatively. And we think is easy and it's not. And I really appreciate you coming on and talking about different ways of thinking. And I appreciate you talking about Kilimanjaro for Kids, because that you're walking the talk, which is what is really important. You're walking the talk. You are constantly pushing yourself to do something. You and I know Helen Thayer. You know her better than I do. We do Women in Business, and we have Helen Thayer come. And she inspired me, but boy, did she inspire you.
She sure did.
Can you tell us a little bit about Helen? Help people understand, if they don't know who Helen Thayer is, who she is. We'll give her a little bit of a plug. And how she's inspired you.
You bet. So Helen Thayer is an amazing woman who is now in her early 70s. And when she was 50 years old, she decided... prior to that, she'd done a lot of mountain climbing. She decided, I am going to go and be the first woman to circumnavigate the North Pole by myself, where there's polar bears and
right.
lots of things.
Yes.
And she did it. And since then, she has just been doing amazing things.
On
and
fire.
She has written three great books that take you through the places that she's been to. And she spoke with us, and I just decided I needed to know her. Luckily, she lives an hour away from where I live. So after she gave that presentation and I got to know her a little bit better, we kind of, in a way, we are similar souls in that we both just have this just deep need. And
for adventure.
For adventure. Yeah. It fills us up. So I talked to my husband about how inspired she was for me, and we had sort of been thinking that we wanted to do something big. I met my husband while climbing Mount McKinley.
Mm.
And, you know, that's sort of our part of our whole relationship. And he was on a different team, and we both made it on different teams. And then we got married. So there was some in between.
But
anyway, back to Helen that, you know, she inspired, when my husband and I were talking about this, we said, you know, we need to go do something big. Let's go to one of the poles.
And Kilimanjaro just wasn't big enough, right?
No. Kilimanjaro, yeah, that's not big enough. So the South Pole is on our radar, and
we
are really seriously thinking that we're going to be there in December of 2012.
Now, is this ultra running in the South Pole?
It isn't. What it will really take all of our ultra running and endurance training to do it, but... In this case, what we'll be doing is pulling 240-pound sleds of all of our food and gear and going 570 miles from the edge of the continent to the South Pole. And it'll be an unguided, unsupported, meaning it'll just be my husband and I pulling all of our own things, finding our own way. And if we do it, we will be the first American couple to ever have done that.
And how does this kind of fit in with your whole Think Shop strategy?
Well, I guess the overarching strategy for Think Shop, and which is really a reflection of my life, is to live inspired and creatively. And so through Think Shop, I do that and help others do that. And for myself, I get so inspired by pushing my own limits. And you have to think out of the box about your life to be able to do these things, to be able to create space in your work to go away for 6 weeks.
I mean, because on the surface, you shouldn't be able to run as much as you're running. I mean, these are the limitations we think in ourselves.
Absolutely.
Unconsciously, in a lot of cases, we shouldn't be able to run. We shouldn't be able to put a child on a bike and go 250 miles and then climb a mountain. We shouldn't be able to go to the North Pole. But those things, do they cross your mind that shouldn't? Or do you think that you just have this desire, this innate capability, or through your training that you don't think in terms of...
I do not think like that.
You can't.
I don't. And I feel like... I was somehow, this was put in my mind when I was younger, but I really accessed it once I figured out the whole process of creative thinking, and I was exposed to that prior to founding Think Shop. When I founded Think Shop, I really feel like I live it every day, and I profess it, and I walk the talk every day, as you said, with my clients, that I can't help but have it permeate from me in everything I do, because I don't see, I just really don't see barriers. I just see opportunities. I see ways of overcoming obstacles. And it is kind of strange, you might think, that I'm almost putting obstacles in front of myself by saying I'm going to go to the South Pole. Wow, that's a huge obstacle. How are we going to get there? It's a way of using your mind and everything you have, really, your mind, your body, your spirit, everything.
And when I've talked to you about it, there's a give back on the end of that. It's not just about what Chris can do. It's about what Chris can do for good. It's the adventure for good concept.
Well, it is. I really came around to that, Kim, is that I love adventure, and how can I marry adventure with this idea of creativity and inspiration and for good? And if I say what words am I all about, it's creativity and inspiration. And inspiration is about getting others to feel and do something. And then you put good on that, and it just puts icing on the cake because, you know, we can tell people to do things, but when you walk the talk and they see you doing things and they're like, you're my friend, I know you, this isn't like some superhero, then people are like, wow, I can get up and do that job I need to do.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to inspire people. That's really what I want to do.
And your climb up Kilimanjaro is somebody else's struggle to get through college. And your walk in the South Pole is somebody's struggle with cancer to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's different
totally.
For everybody.
That's exactly how I've seen it play out.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people tell me when I did a race for cancer, man, when I saw you running for 16 hours straight, I said, I can walk my 5 laps, you know, that I'm going to complain about. And, you know, just being able to have people think differently about anything, about their life, any struggle, any, just even a day that's not going well.
So tell us again how people can help you with Kilimanjaro for Kids.
Definitely. Well, as I said, the school, St. Margaret's Academy, is doing marvelous things. And I have firsthand experience being there 3 years ago and seeing it. And so Friends of Africa Education is the nonprofit who helps them. And so I have set up a donation box on my Kilimanjaro for Kids. You just click on that donate, goes right to Friends of Africa Education, and all those funds are earmarked to help build 2 classrooms for a St. Margaret's Academy. So you just need to go to KilimanjaroForKids.com or go to my thinkshop.com. Go to that blog that has all the links on it.
And we'll be posting more information. You all heard this wonderful woman here first. She's going to be very, very famous someday. I just know it. And you get to sign a copy of your book when it gets written.
Awesome.
I want to have that first edition. Talk about inspiration. It's a lot to talk the game, but to literally walk, run, pull sled, climb mountain, ride bike. The talk is amazing. I am inspired by you every day, and I'm sure that you have inspired some listeners out there. So thank you so much for coming on the show. It was very much a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Kim.
Yay. Well, this show today was sponsored by Pearson Law Firm, our wonderful friends at Pearson Law Firm, where you can expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson promise. Don't forget about Night on a Dark Trail helps our friends at the food bank, and you can join us Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. If you're like me and you're a little afraid of dark trails, there is a wonderful place where kids and scaredy cats like myself can hang out and have some cider and carve some pumpkins and just have a really great time while the more fearless among us can go get their wits scared out of them. That's not my thing, but I'm sure it's going to be a blast for some. And so if you want to join me and chat through that, chat through my fears on Night on a Dark Trail, that should be a lot of fun. And then again, don't forget, November 5th, is the job fair and entrepreneur fair. And you can get more information on all of these things by going to walkthetalkwithkim.com and sign up and come down and join us. If you have a job to give or want to speak at that job fair event, there's opportunities open. And please tell everybody, please, please, please like Walk the Talk with Kim. We want to donate a ton of money to the Love Uganda campaign and support lots going on in Africa. It's a wonderful time to be helping. Please go out there, think differently, be inspired, and enjoy the beautiful day.